Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Hey, you guys. Hey, this is Dr. Cappuccino, and you have called in to join this show, and I am so happy. The Global Vision for Living Today has missed you, and I know you missed us too. Thank God that we're able to be alive to see one more day happen, and happen because He has a message for you. He has a message for the world. He has a message for everything living and breathing, because guess what? Without Him, we can do nothing at all. Yay, thank you again for joining. Where do we go from here? Is any place on earth left for greatness? What's going on in this world? Is any place left on earth to be happy and whole and satisfied with life as we know it? Where are all the think tanks who promised before and after elections answers to the masses? Why all this stress and strife and unhappiness? There's a song going out, Is Life Worth Living? And we're asking the same thing. Is life worth living? Is our living in vain? Well, you're going to hear some answers to those questions. And I know you're out there saying, oh, you know, we're tired of listening. We're hearing all of this. We're hearing all of that. You know, we hear nothing but talk. There's no solution. Things are like they're getting worse. Well, 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 you're right on the dime. But there's something that people are missing when it comes to seeking answers for the world's problems, especially racial problems. Because we know the scripture says, out of one man came everyone. So, oops, I think we better walk all the way back and get off and get back on where we got off when it comes to the problems of today. Now, I know many of you have missed Dr. William Harrison. I call him Colonel. Colonel, I call him Colonel Harrison. I know you missed him. You missed us both. But now we're back here with all power in our hands because he has appointed us for times such as this. Dr. Harrison, Colonel, are you with us today?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Dr. Cappuccino. Listening to the audience, it's been a while and been on travel and back off travel, and just honored to have an opportunity to be with you and our listening audience again. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. You know, we want to hear voices of power. We want to hear voices of reason and greatness. And so here you are. Thank you again for being on the show. Now, people are worried. You know, they thought they had a chance. Okay, here we are. You know, we're in the midst of all of this racial boom, boom. You know, what's going on? What's happening? You know, we are four people that claim that, you know, they have been wronged over the centuries and that they really haven't had an opportunity to get their just due. They feel like other races don't care about them, don't like them, don't want to see them around. While that might be true, what has brought that on? What do we do about it? Now, we've heard for the last 60 days or more different answers and solutions to the problems that have people marching, killing, rock throwing, Molotov throwing, police battering, and doing injurious things. What more can happen? Everything can happen. But right now, people are saying, okay, I've seen it all. I've been out there, I've been in the riots. You know, I've been looting, I've been thieving, stealing. I've been doing everything I can. Now I'm sitting here at home wondering, you know, why my grocery store decides they're not coming back in the areas. What do we do from this point? I know you're a pastor of a ministry there in the D.C. metropolitan area. I do also know that you have had 38, 39 years in law enforcement. You're former chief of police for Capitol Heights, Maryland, in that district. From your vantage point and from what you have been told, what you've seen, what you've heard, what can you tell the listening audience as to a point of relief? Where do we go from here? Is what we see over yet? Is there anywhere, white, black, Mexican, Asian, where anyone, old and young, can be safe I understand they were burning up, setting funeral homes on fire. Is there any place safe if someone would ask, where do we go from here? What do we do? Where do we go psychologically? Where do we go mentally? Where do we go physically? Where do we go right now with the situation in America still as it is?
Dr. Capitina, excellent question. Requires a par excellent response. As I meditate and I was reflecting, the first thing comes to mind with regards to humanity, man and woman and children, is the like of love. Things have deteriorated, decayed, and got to the point where we are today because of lack of love. And I don't mean the intimacy of love. I mean the caring part of love, the compassion, the understanding, looking out for the welfare of my fellow man, my fellow woman, my neighbor, in addition to my brothers and sisters, immediate family members. So the lack of love, the lack of compassion, the lack of us being our brother and sister's keeper and helping one another. If you have something I have that I can assist you with, I should lovingly, openly, willingly render it to you. So that's the main thing. So society breaks down because people lose compassion and love and concern for each other's welfare. So that's the love piece. The other piece quickly is unity, where once we have love, then we have unity. We have something in common. We become as one, and your concern become my concern. Your hardship become my hardship. Your unfortunateness become my dilemma. And we're to empower, we're to embrace, we uplift each other. We're made to be communicative and creative beings wherein we love one another, interact with each other, and be concerned about one another's welfare. And so we've lost that. We've transitioned beyond that. And so it seems as if everything is coming apart because of the simple, most powerful word in the English and other dictionaries called love. So love, unity. And the third piece I want to place on the table, on the mantle this morning, is God. The like of understanding and knowledge and intimacy toward God, God Yahweh, God the Creator, God the Great White Hope, meaning White Hope, meaning the great person, the great supernatural being. And so because of like of love, because of like of unity, and because of abandoning God and not getting to know who God is, we're in a dilemma. We cannot live, we can coexist with each other, but we can't coexist without the infinite being, the supernatural being called God, Yahweh, Allah. So I'll pause.
Wow. Wow. That was a mouthful. But I'm thinking before people get to that point, there's got to be a desire for right action, a desire for people coming on both sides of the table bargaining, a desire for people to want peace, which is the only element that will shut all evil down, shut all wickedness down, shut all misunderstandings down, shut all behaviors down that are not of right action. Is peace. That word peace carries a big connotation, but people have been at tables over the last 60 days. They say, I don't want no peace. I want reparation. We don't want any peace. We want to be seen as human beings too before you start talking about peace. We don't want to have no peace. We don't even want to talk about peace until you give us a sack full of $100 bills. We don't want that. We don't want that. We don't want that. So the we don't crowd now, whose voice is dominating the voices that would say, okay, let's stop what we're doing. This isn't working. Our children are looking on. Our youth are looking on. This isn't cutting the mustard. We don't want anything other than you shutting the police down, shutting down the white supremacist thinking in America and abroad. We don't want to hear about it. We don't want to talk to you. We don't want to listen to you. We don't care a thing about peace. Peace, peace, peace. They've been talking about that. We've been talking about that. Everybody's been talking, but they don't want it. So what do you do with the comments that you've made in a society that says they would rather have death and oppressiveness rather than love and peace? What do you do with a society? Now, keep in mind, here in America, which is founded on, you know, righteous principle, religious yearnings, what do you do in a country such as ours, founded on those principles, when the people running around in it say they don't want it? What do you do with a nation like that?
Where there's lack of knowledge, the people perish. If there's no peace, then the people will perish. Peace, we have to understand what peace really is. So let me approach peace from a certain perspective, and then I will certainly endeavor to answer your question. There's inner peace, peace within myself, peace within yourself. Each individual has a peace within their inner self, within their inner self. Are you at peace, or you have discord within you? If you have peace, then you're able to function in society in a great way, a good way, progressive way, and a prosperous way. If you have inner peace, it also gives you confidence where you're willing to help others. So we have inner peace, then we have outer peace. Outer peace is extending that peace that is within us to others.
Hello, Colonel?
Yes, can you hear me?
Okay, you have got to stay on the mic. We're all losing you. You know, you got to stay on the mic.
Okay, so I spoke of inner peace, outer peace, and then universal peace. Now, you said those people who don't want peace, without peace, the people perish. Without knowledge, the people perish. We were made to be creative, happy, contented, and self-supporting human beings, not to have turmoil, not to have our blood pressure elevated 24/7. We were made to be at rest, at a state of mind where we can function and do things. And so peace is the nucleus that we need, and peace comes from God. It gives us a peace that passes all understanding. So the thing that we need, that God we reject, who gives us peace, who gives us wisdom, we reject he who is him. We reject him who gives us those things that will bring about peace and tranquility, not only within ourselves, but as we interact and relate to each other. Now, I know people, so the absence of peace is chaos, and that's what we have. We're living in this country, the wealthiest country on earth, and there's chaos on every lean inside, and that's why.
Well, is that what the people want? Obviously, that's really what they want, because they're using chaos to get their demands honored and what they claim understood. But on the other side, you have groups saying, no, it doesn't take all of that. Let's, again, sit at a table. No one wants to do that. No one wants to come and say, I'm wrong, I've been wrong, here's what I propose. I mean, you have corporations now in America have been cowered down and brought to their knees, giving millions of dollars over to certain organizations that claim. Now, it's just a claim. Hasn't been proven. I've got claim. They are trying to see the black man through. But while the black man is walking, you got the Asian man walking. You got the white man really still walking. I mean, hey, something is faulty with this picture. So when you talk about people not really wanting peace and they're choosing chaos over peace, what can you do with a situation where you're looking at, what am I going to do? What's the smoke clear? Where do I go? Do I still talk to another race? Do I still try to honor another race? I mean, where do we go from here? You talk religion. There's 30, 40 million Muslims just practicing Muslims in the United States alone. That's a lot of people with a different ideology from what one might teach in the average church. Right now they're saying this is why we have all this chaos, because many of these people have been sitting up in the church community, and obviously they ain't been taught nothing, because most of them, they said 50% of the people or more running out, killing, mangling, throwing things, stealing out of high-end stores, low-end stores. They are a product of the church community. And here we go again, you know, fingers are pointing, because the ones with the fingers on the hand don't have the answer. They don't know either. So in every society, from the French Revolution on down, there's had to have been some scapegoat, some group that has been scapegoated, some organization, some leaning has been used as a scapegoat as well as the problems. Look at the burning of Rome. Herod put it all on the Christians just to round them up, to use them as human torches in the Roman arena. And you just and we could talk all day long on history. Look at then the Inquisition, where they came in and burned Christians at stakes broad daylight. It's always been a group that has had to be scapegoated or ghostlighted on to prove a point. And now here it is. I'm going to say it is the white man's fault. He did this, he did that. Well, of course, he did a lot of things. But then when you think of the black African kings that sold thousands of slaves, when the British came looking for slaves to come over here and build these 13 colonies, we know the truth. We know what happened. So now here we are, 400 years. Every so many years, something is burned down. Blacks rise up. Rodney King beating. Then you had the Watts riots first. Then you had that. Then you've had something. It's been something all throughout the history of 400 years of the black man. And he still hasn't met his quota. Whatever he has won, he has not got. And if people think, well, these organizations out there, I don't want to name any because I understand some of them are very dangerous, cruel people running them. So I'm not going to get involved in that. People are too scared to call them on the carpet. Whatever. Right now we see the carnage that our enemies are looking on and observing about America. If America can't control itself, China, Russia, and Germany is saying we can. We have more problems than we know of, and I know right now when they talk about keeping the schools closed, that's part of the problem. Our black people need to be educated, not only on, oh, yeah, I was a slave, and they beat me up, and they did this, and threw me in a well, they lynched me, yeah. It's got to be more than that. So when we speak out to the community about where do we go from here, is any place on earth left for greatness? People are not interested in greatness. They want money in their pockets, and they want to condemn white race. What do we do when most of America has traditionally been run by the white man, if we want to just call him that, you know, as a collective group? It's been run by the white man. People have kissed up to the white man. If the white man want to shut something down because it ain't right, hey, that's going to happen. So where do we go from here now that the chaotic behavior, it ain't worked? It has not worked. It has not worked. Some of these corporations have backed out. Some have given money to these groups, but some are not touching that with a 10-foot pole. Where are the entertainers at? They ain't touching this with a 10-foot pole. You have a few that have faded out and want to fade in on the crisis that America is undergoing. But if you have your ministry there, and I know some are scared, everyone's looking on, what are you telling them? I mean, what would you as a minister tell your flock as far as staying away from the problem, staying out of it, don't blame nobody, Jesus didn't do that? I mean, what do you actually tell your parishioners from Zoom or however you have been meeting with them? What do you say to them as to where do we go from here?
I'm teaching the congregation that I have oversight of. Number one is salvation. Number two, the moral principles of love, peace, and happiness, unity, and also helping and supporting one another. So it begins with the moral principles, but then it extends out in the sociological community wherein we are to help each other, not only brothers and sisters within the church, but people within our community, to help them if they have a need. We're given to charity. We take care of charity needs. We have outreach ministries as it pertains to the missionaries. And so we all are missionaries or ambassadors in one form or the other. The real problem we have, yes, Black Lives Matter, but all lives matter. And yes, those of African descent have been subjected to subjugation in this country over 400 some odd years. But we can fix this thing if we come together and we unify and we look for the good in each other. Judge me by the content of my character, not by the color of my skin. We got to get away from this bias and this prejudice and this discrimination thing. I'm better than you, you better than me because I look different, you look different, my hair texture is different. That's hogwash. That's foolishness. That's nonsense. That's why the United States is in the position it's in today. The United States was better off years gone by than it is today. And a lot of the problems we have today, those of us who have children didn't teach our children certain principles about respecting and valuing other people, no matter how different they may look or how different they may act, and however their culture might be that's different than mine or yours, to respect people and give respect, and you'll get respect in return. So we have gotten away from that, and now we blame the church, but we gotta begin with family. Blame family first. Then family is supposed to come to church, and the church is supposed to help refine those principles that family is supposed to instill, those moral values and social values, so our children can grow up, become productive adults, and respect each other, love one another, help others, and even strangers that they don't know, to be given to charity and be their brothers and sisters keepers. We've gotten away from that. So now we're confused, there's chaos, and the country is going down the tube because we haven't taught those certain principles early on, many of us, when we should have, when our children were of the age of influence.
Oh, very true, very true. Well, I understand you're going to be speaking the end of August at the What is the Future of the Black Man in America, with the subtitle of Let My People Go. That is a three-day conference with a two-day speaker forum, and then on a Saturday, the celebration breakfast. I understand that there's a strong possibility that you might be giving that keynote on that last day, because we're going to be asking the same question again, and it's already earmarked for that Saturday for the keynote. Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? What do we do? That's the actual title of that closing out keynote. We understand that this is going to be held in the state of California. Where is this three-day conference going to be held, Colonel Harrison?
Thank you, Dr. Askin. It will be held at the Torrance Conference Center, 21151 Western Avenue, and on the 3 days that you mentioned, August the 27th through the 29th. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be a great conference. Encourage all to attend. And they have a saying, it is my desire to certainly be there and be a part of the great a speaker forum, and it's going to be a wonderful symposium. And they have a saying down south where I come from, I hope to be there, I plan to be there, if the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise. So we're looking forward to it, Doc.
Well, it sure better not rise, because this conference is earmarked as a segue to people that have power and influence meeting face-to-face with governmental officials with their proposal on how they think this great country can become whole again, get out of the crutches and the trenches of being separated from the element of humanity. And, of course, for those coming behind us, see, many people think that, you know, in my lifetime, you know, I'm going to do this. This can happen. This cannot happen. But what we're doing with this conference is to make sure that those that are teenagers in school, cannot get back in school, that they too have a voice at the table. Those living today have an opportunity to come to the conference, and we're looking really for dignitaries and elected officials to stand up and hear what this conference is really all about. It's not for showmanship. It's for people coming together that has not only the ideas but have solutions and answers to the question, what happened? Why are we still talking about this 300 years later? What happened? Why haven't we been given an opportunity to speak? You have an opportunity to speak now, but there's got to be a solution, a coming together, not just of the black race independent of other races, because keep in mind, all came from two people. So basically, you're saying that this is something that everyone interested in America should attend. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, Doc. Yes, Dr. Capitan. This is the conference of the year. This is the conference of all conferences to attend, to witness, to participate, to get the information, because solutions will be provided in addition to the problems. Solutions will be provided that they can carry back to their homes, their home states, their communities, and to the council members and state officials and so forth, and also the symposium recap will be such that there will be a profile and a package prepared and forward to me here in Washington, D.C. to present to a representative of Congress for further action.
That's absolutely great. And, you know, you're such a great influence here in America, so much so that you have a best-selling book. Talk to us about your book. Give us the title of your book and give us about 1 minute dialogue on what caused you to write that book and what influence it has on today's issues.
Thank you, Doc, for the opportunity. The title of the book is Answer to Civil Unrest in the Land. The Answer to Civil Unrest in the Land. It talks about the exact problems that have happened a few weeks ago, the circumstances led up to those problems. And so I go back a little further in the book and bring it forward from a historical perspective, wherein the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King and the March on Washington and the Civil Rights Movement marches and so forth, I bring it forward from that era to where we are today. And certainly what is happening today can be very, very compared to what Dr. King and his supporters did 50-some years ago. And there's information there to help the police bond with community bond with the police, turn this thing around so we can change our thinking that all police officers are bad. They're not. We need them more so than we need the criminals. So I encourage everyone to consider the book, The Answer to Civil Unrest in the Land. Thank you, Doc.
Yes, will there be copies available at the conference?
Yes.
Thank you very much. You've been listening to Dr. Capitino, Global Vision for Living Today show, and also the illustrious Dr. William, I call him Colonel Harrison, I don't know why, but thank you all for tuning in. If you have any ideas, any comments, please send those to MotherNature7@gmail.com. God bless you. We hope to be on the air next week. Please tune in again to the Global Vision for Living Today talk show. Thank you.